Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for hanging in there with me. I apologize for the delay. As soon as my computer got going and we started to log into the radio show, my computer kicked me off and said I needed to restart. So sorry about that. So you know, this day is fraught with a bunch of technical stuff. I had planned on doing an interview with Jose Gonzalez about the anxiety that we're all living in, and I actually had to get my computer worked on because it didn't quite work. So I had no interview this morning to pre-record. So that means that if you guys want to give us a call, we're at 541-33, that's my cell phone number. The phone number for the radio show is 718-717-8106. Give us a call and tell us what you think about what's going on. As you know, I always have plenty of opinions to give, so there's no problem with me finding out things to do. One of the things I really do want to have a conversation about is this constant anxiety. We are seriously like battered wives in this country. We wake up wondering what has gone on today. What big disaster have they planned for us today? What manipulated, controlled, contrived catastrophe are we living in? I saw an article this morning that was talking about, I think it's the Sioux Nation is going to sue the United States government. They're demanding that the EPA give them clean, decent water. I thought to myself, it's about time. This is my question to people out there. When are we going to unite and stand up against these people as they slowly ebb away at us? We've all been fragmented. I have to say, this has been a very emotional weekend. My nephew is going into heart surgery. He is 11 years old going into heart surgery. He lives in the Seattle area, and I am certain he's been affected by radioactive contamination, but that would never even be acknowledged at a medical level. And then I have to tell you what happened with me. I was driving up to see Tom Carpenter on Saturday. I had heard on Democracy Now! That he was going to be at Powell's Books on Saturday. And I wanted to talk to him. Tom Carpenter is the head of Hanford Challenge. He is, the lead attorney. He's one of the primary directors of Hanford Challenge. I was very excited about going to see him. I had a friend in my car with me, and we were in Portland now. It was about 2 hours away from me. We were about 35 minutes away from Eugene, and I had never experienced this, but my friend had a seizure or some type of epileptic something happened. He refused to go to the hospital. He actually, after it was all over, I'll tell you what, it was the freakiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I really honestly had never experienced anything like that. He wanted me to drive up to Portland. He was actually angry at me that I wouldn't go to Portland and finish the thing, because it turns out he really wanted to see Amy Goodman, because it wasn't just Tom Carpenter. It was Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! There. But that sort of led me into thinking about all this. Like, this is a person who was one of the people who threw himself in front of work trucks 30 years ago, stopping Trojan here in Oregon. And this has really blown me away, that where are the people that stopped nuclear 30 years ago? Why did they just go away and act like it's no big deal? My friend and I have had conversations about this, and, you know, it's bizarre to watch him just give up on life and then have a seizure and refuse to go to the hospital. So it's been a very, I have to say, quite an emotional weekend, and it's sort of par for the course that my computer conked out at me and I lost all my links and all my tabs and, like, whatever. I mean, I am just not going to get upset anymore. This is the deal. We cannot afford it. We wake up every day and we look at the news, and it's like, it's not news. It's catastrophe management. You know, that's kind of like where we're at. I mean, frankly, the whole concept of news is an interesting idea. But, you know, with the nuclear industry, they are really literally setting out to kill us, quite literally. Actually, the whole Trump Nation is really about to, you know, like, they don't care. I mean, there's a headline this morning that said, you know, there was a chemical that the EPA greenlighted last month, and now people are immediately dying and getting sick from it. So, I mean, it's super important for us to, like, lean into this, call our congressmen. We have to call these people and harass them almost, because they don't want to listen. There was a story about a congressman this morning on that I was going to read, and I lost the link. A congressman literally wrote to a ladies' bank because he's been refusing to meet with his constituents for 4 years. He has refused to meet with his constituents for 4 years. So this woman was part of an organized group to get him to meet with their constituents. He wrote a letter to his bank, her bank, because they gave her money. It was Wells Fargo Bank. I remember the bank. And he said, well, one of your people is harassing me and caused her trouble. That is straight up fascism, folks. I mean, we have to remember that Hitler actually had a whole parliament behind him. So when we think it can happen to America, it has happened to America. I mean, let me see if I can open up this story again in Forbes that I had earmarked. Hold on, I'm going to see if I had to jump through some hoops to open it up for the first time. Hopefully it'll open up again. This is a story I saw on Google News. I just go to the Googles because that's what most Americans see. So I like to use the sources that most Americans see. I saw this story coming out of Mississippi. Now, most of us don't think of Mississippi as being a nuclear site, right? Mississippi taxing nuclear power and accusations of racism. Really? This is exactly what it's about. And it really just highlights institutional racism, this whole article. I'm going to read it for you because it really speaks down to how deep the nuclear industry is in terms of causing hate, causing death. I just cannot abide anybody that tells me that nuclear is the way to go. Because for me, ever since we've had nuclear weapons, nuclear energy on this planet, it's been nothing but murder, death, kill. Claiborne County, this is written by Peter O'Reilly, on which the name of the site. This is Forbes. So Peter J. Riley, contributor. Claiborne County, Mississippi is home to the Grand Gulf Nuclear Generating Station operated by Entergy. Having one of those things in the neighborhood is a little nerve-wracking. The Nuclear Regulatory Agency defines a plume exposure pathway zone and a larger ingestion pathway zone in the vicinity of the plant in the event something goes really wrong. On the upside, the power plant could mean a lot of tax revenue, and Claiborne County shows up on the list of one of the poorest counties in the country. Only under Mississippi law, a county doesn't get to tax a nuclear power plant. Listen to that. Only under Mississippi law, a county doesn't get to tax a nuclear power plant. The state taxes the plant and divvies the money up among the counties in the plant service area. Some residents claim that the reason for the law is that Claiborne County, home to Mississippi's only nuclear power plant, has a population of over 80% African American. That was the lawsuit Doss versus Claiborne County of Supervisors was all about. Spoiler alert, it did not go well for the disgruntled residents. As is common in these sorts of cases, they foundered on the rock of standing. Foundered. That doesn't make sense. I don't understand that sentence. Some history. Claiborne County has a significance in the history of the civil rights movement. In 1966, African-American citizens of Port Gibson, the county seat, started a boycott of white merchants, which was suspended after the city hired its first black officer. Police shooting in the wake of Martin Luther King assassination rebooted the boycott with leadership from NAACP and Charles Evers, brother of Medgar Evers, who was murdered in 1963. NAACP liability for collateral violence associated with the boycott ended up at the Mississippi Supreme Court, which overturned a Mississippi judgment of $1.2 million against the NAACP in 1982. And property taxes were a big part of the racial struggle in Claiborne County. Evan Doss Jr. became the first black county assessor in 1972. Historian Emily Crosby in The Black Struggle in Claiborne County, Mississippi wrote, "During his campaign, Doss promised to establish fair and equal tax for all residents. And when he took office, the organizers initiated an effort to assess and equalize the community property tax system." In keeping with their pattern, whites reacted with fierce opposition. The outgoing tax assessor specifically warned Doss not to alter the existing assessments, and the Board of Supervisors drastically cut Doss's operating budget to roughly half of that comparable counties. Doss and his associates determined that blacks were being inequitably taxed and estimated that the overall assessment was about two-thirds of the correct value. Wow. Oh, man. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this really speaks to where we're at. This is, it is very insidious how it works in our country. There is complete disregard for human life and especially almost an animosity towards people of color. And people of color are where the nuclear power plants are built. It's where they get the most waste. It's where they get the most contaminants. I don't know about you guys, but the House Bill SB 22 in the St. Louis area that was going to move, there was a bill in St. Louis in the budget in Missouri that they were attempting to pass through the House in the government, the state house I'm talking about, that would provide $1 million to buy out the homes within a 1 mile radius of the Westlake landfill. And it got rejected by just a few votes, which means people there need to continue living in contaminated areas, period, unless they want to just give up their houses and go. And that is kind of where we're at. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, we really, it is very, very important for us to decide that this is important enough for us to change our lives and change our focus, pressure our elected officials. I actually heard this morning that Lincoln Chaffetz is going to become a Fox News contributor. I started to laugh at that. For those of you who don't know who Mr. Chaffetz is he is he used to be a congressman from Utah. He was heading up the committee investigating the Trump-Russia connection. And rather than pursue the facts and ask the hard questions and stay on the committee, he decided he needed to quit Congress. This is the state of affairs in our country, folks. He decided he was going to quit Congress. The number is 718-717-8106 if any of you want to give me a call. Otherwise, I am just going to continue reading stories that I think are important. You'll have to forgive me because I have to pull them all back up because my computer conked out right before the show. North Korea threat, global cyber attack, and Trump's border wall. That's from CBS News. Time to stop confusing nuclear weapons with nuclear power. This is a blog from The Hill. Is the U.S. prepared for a nuclear EMP to shut down New York City? Another blog from The Hill. The Hill is such a hilarious place to go because it sets the tone for the fear-mongering. It's totally hilarious. Nuclear power in Poland, an unholy idea. These are the nuclear news highlights of today that pop up. Miss District of Columbia wins Miss USA contest for a second year in a row. Why is that under the nuclear news? Because she's a chemist working for the U.S. Regulatory Commission. Oh, my God. Really? That woman won? She won Miss USA, Miss Little Nuclear. She won Miss USA. Oh, my gosh. Mississippi taxing power and accusations of racism. We read that. Okay, worst case scenario, a Canadian nuclear plant could affect Maine. You know, the thing is, they can all affect all of us. We're all being affected. I actually wanted to read this story about this time to stop confusing. This was the one that really got me going. Time to stop confusing nuclear weapons with nuclear power as if the end result isn't exactly the same. Murder, death, kill is still murder, death, kill. You know, I'm going to open up this. So did you guys hear our show on Friday with Heidi Lambert and Mimi Gurman? I was completely fascinated by Heidi's theory that this, quote, urgent event in Hanford is nothing more than them needing digging in our pockets even a little bit deeper. Them saying, oh, we need an emergency funding, and which they immediately got. You notice how quickly we respond to these nuclear catastrophes? Like, immediately the pocketbook just goes right open. Okay, no problem. No regulators are going in there, but definitely lots and lots of money. And our money. It's not their money. It's our money. Oh, man. Okay. Time to stop confusing nuclear weapons with nuclear power. Contributing editor, Ted Nordhaus. This guy made me really mad. It's kind of a long, you know, they have to really twist this around. Let's just go to the very end because I don't want to read this all, the whole, I wasn't planning on reading the whole thing. I'm just going to read how he sums this up. In short, the Cold War specter that has hung over nuclear energy, often unfairly, is coming to an end. Given proper public support and oversight, a new generation for nuclear energy technology will hopefully succeed or fail entirely based on intrinsic merits, not confusing association leftovers from an era that increasingly few Americans are old enough to remember. You know, as if there is anything safe about a nuclear power plant. A nuclear power plant produces waste that we have no idea what to do with. None. You know, on my YouTube channel, I'm reading, let me see if I can pull that up because that was really awesome. I'm reading Carl Grossman's book. I know I told you guys that I had, many times I've had Carl on the show and I was thinking that I would read his book, right? Well, I just decided, you know what, there's no time like the present because I really, oh my goodness, what does this guy want me to do? Uh-oh. Sorry about this. I'm trying to open up this PDF and it's asking me to go to the internet. So my whole computer is kind of a little bit messed up, so I'm just going to deal with it. So I wanted to read this with you because this is really interesting. I'm reading the preface of this still. It's like got a 16-page preface. I read about 20 minutes every night. And let's see. Last night he was talking about how the levels of contamination of what they do. Okay, the numbers are staggering. Okay, this was done by the NRC. This is the preface to Carl Grossman's book, Cover Up, What You're Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power. So this was just a few years earlier in 1982, months after the last edition of this book was released. The NRC issued a report projecting loss of coolant accident and breach of containment at every nuclear power plant in the nation. What would be the peak early fatalities, peak early injuries, peak cancer deaths, and scaled cost of billions of $1980? This analysis was done by the NRC and the U.S. Department of Energy's Sandia National Laboratories and is titled Calculation of Reactor Accident Consequences for U.S. Nuclear Plants. The numbers are staggering. For example, for the Indian Point nuclear power plants, 18 miles north of New York City, CRAC2 projects, it's CRAC. That there's an acronym here. The calculations of reactor accident consequences for nuclear power plants. They have deemed that the acronym is CRAC, C-R-A-C. When I read that, I'm like, really? That figures in 1982 when they were like spewing cocaine, you know, getting their cocaine routes down firmly in the 80s through the Reagan administration. In the event of a meltdown with lost containment at Indian Point, 46,000 peak early fatalities, 141,000 peak early injuries, 13,000 peak cancer deaths, and scaled cost in property damage and a large chunk of the earth rendered uninhabitable at $274 billion. That's $1980, and as the report notes, which in today's dollars would total $1 trillion. For Indian Point 3, the bigger plant, 975 megawatts compared to 873 for number one or for number two, and thus containing more radioactive poisons, CRAC2 estimates the toll as 50,000 peak early fatalities, 167 peak early injuries, 14,000 peak cancer deaths, and scaled costs of $314 million. There are such figures for each nuclear power plant like these in the U.S., and these are not merely numbers. These are people's lives. This is what people are forgetting about, is these realities. We have been lied to over and over and over again. Let's move down in this preface. I'll continue to read a little bit because this is completely stunning. In fact, there are only a few decades left of high-grade... Oh, I'm going to go back one little paragraph. There is also the argument made that this is the favorite editorial theme of the New York Times, that uranium fuel, notably compared to oil, is, quote, abundant. But uranium fuel for nuclear plants comes from so-called high-grade ore, containing substantial amounts of uranium-235. Uranium-235 is the isotope of uranium that splits or fissions, and it is not abundant. In fact, there are only a few decades left of high-grade uranium ore. The supply is seen as lasting not much longer than oil. The New Economics Foundation stated in its 2005 report, Mirage and Oasis, quote, people rarely consider the question of finite resources in relation to the nuclear power, but uranium is in limited supply, unquote. It notes one estimate that uranium reserves will be depleted in around four decades and points out that even the Atomic Energy Agency that promotes nuclear power estimates enough uranium only to last another 85 years. This limit is why the nuclear establishment has long believed that nuclear energy will need to be based on man-made plutonium. But plutonium fuel breeder reactors can explode like atomic bombs, and they would contain tons of plutonium compared with just a few pounds needed to make the atomic bomb. The first atomic bomb that used plutonium dropped on Nagasaki, Japan in 1945, contained 15 pounds of plutonium. Thus, plutonium fuel breeder reactors, even more so than uranium fueled reactors, can easily provide the fuel to make atomic bombs. And this man is telling us that there's a myth about nuclear and bombs. Still, uranium-fueled nuclear plants can be plentiful sourced in plutonium for bombs, too. Plutonium is built as a byproduct of atom splitting or fission. Every large uranium-fueled commercial nuclear reactor, as noted later on, generates 500 to 1,000 pounds of plutonium a year, enough plutonium to build a dozen bombs. So this is five dozens of bombs, 500 to 1,000 pounds of plutonium every year, every uranium-fueled commercial reactor, every one, folks. How much plutonium is this country and is this world creating right now, then, if those are the facts? I mean, and we are just expected to listen to this guy on the Hill tell us that, we've got to stop. This is his opening sentence here. News of the partial collapse of the abandoned storage tunnel at Hanford in Washington has stoked predictable reactions from nuclear energy opponents. Despite the fact that Hanford was a facility dedicated to the production of nuclear weapons, anti-nuclear groups have been quick to draw the connection to nuclear energy. I guess so, when you consider the fact that there's going to be building every single nuclear power plant produces enough waste. The liberal news site Common Dreams trumpeted the accident as evidence of the nuclear power industry's global collapse. The website Zero Hedge, whose motto reads, on a long enough time frame, the survival rate for everyone drops to zero, has uncovered the story Fukushima style, with minute-by-minute updates suggesting a developing disaster. The alerts come in spite of the fact that no radiation was released into the environment, and after briefly sheltering in place, workers were at the sprawling site were back to work the following day. And there it's still sticking with the story that no radiation escaped. Even among the more open-minded observers, the tendency to conflate nuclear energy with nuclear weapons is hard to resist. Both technologies involve the release of energy from plutonium reactions, and nuclear energy was originally developed by the U.S. Navy as a source of electricity to power submarines and aircraft carriers. But it is also extremely misleading. Neither the physics nor the technologies are the same, nor the institutions who manage the two technologies. Nuclear weapons today involve fusing two atoms together in an uncontrolled explosion. Nuclear energy harnessing the decay of naturally occurring radioactive elements in a slow, controlled reaction, creating heat that turns steam turbines. You know what is really misleading about this, how this refusal of this person who wrote this article is to understand? Evidently, he has not really got the memo. He's not even looking at the idea. Let me see if I can find this thing again. Here it is. The breeder reactors. I mean, what about this, sir? What about the fact that every single nuclear facility produces every Still, uranium-fueled nuclear power plants can be a plentiful source of plutonium for bombs. Plutonium is built as a byproduct of atomic splitting or fission. Every large uranium-fueled commercial nuclear plant, as noted later on, generates 500 to 1,000 pounds of plutonium a year, enough to build dozens of bombs. So this person is about to tell us that it does not matter, that these nuclear weapons are not connected to the nuclear bombs. That is a straight, bold-faced, manipulated lie. Just like trying to tell us that this woman who won the Miss USA contest for a second year in a row because she's a nuclear chemist, a chemist working for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That's a little bit of normalizing because she gets to go out and be the spokesperson for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission for the next year. We get to listen to this woman telling us to calm down, that don't worry about it, that it's not that bad. We are completely super screwed, folks. This is the world that we're living in. We have a lunatic in the White House, not a lunatic, a guy who plans on being a dictator. They are working at it inch by inch. They are destroying everything that our government has worked up to build. They are planning on destroying it. And the interesting thing is they're proud of it. They call that drain in the swamp, filling it back up with the Wall Street bankers and, you know, criminals that are colluding and making money off of us using our government as a personal bank account. I don't know how anybody could actually, like, really get behind this president. It's just beyond. If anybody out there believes that this president is doing any good work, give me a call because I'd love to talk to you. The number is 718-717-8106. I don't know how people can continue to just ignore the writing on the wall, that it's time for us to get actively engaged. It's time for us to stand up to these people because we cannot continue to do this. The world is just too precarious for us to sit back, and we don't need to listen to the news and, you know, look at these big names and go, oh yeah, we're too intimidated. Our voice really does matter. We have to be the tsunami that pushes the tide back. We have to be the people that are going to change this element that's coming into our lives now. If we're going to have grandchildren at all, great-grandchildren at all. Well, folks. I'm going to read this story about how it works. Here it is. We'll talk about this nasty chemical. A month later, it poisons a bunch of farm workers. This comes out of Mother Jones. I guess it's considerable a liberal newspaper, liberal. And I honestly, personally, am proud of being a liberal. And I think liberal is a good word. You know, people get mad at us because we want everyone to have, like, their rights and their lives. Yeah, we do. On May 5th, more than 50 farm workers outside of Bakersfield, California, were exposed to a highly toxic camp pesticide that apparently drifted from a nearby field at a high enough level that 12 people reported symptoms of vomiting and nausea, and one person fainted. Let's cut to the meat of this. According to the news report, the poison was caused by a chemical called chlorpyrifos. The spokeswoman for the Kern County Department of Health said the department assumes chlorpyrifos was the active ingredient in the pesticide in question, but the matter is still under investigation. So this is really the thing. The EPA abruptly changed its stance on chlorpyrifos, greenlighting it instead of banning it. The decision, among the first major ones made by Scott Pruitt at his tenure as EPA chief, caused outrage in public health circles. Dow AgroSciences applauded the decision. Dow AgroSciences remains confident that authorized use of chlorpyrifos Chlorpyrifos products offer a wide range of margins of protection for health and human safety, the company declared in a press release. These people are literally murderers. The parent company, Dow Chemical, has cultivated a cozy relationship with the Trump administration. The company delivered $1 million to the president's inaugural committee for the Center of Public Integrity notes. Dow Chemical chairman and CEO Andrew Liveritz attended a post-election Trump rally. Trump named Liveritz chairman of the American Manufacturing Council, vowing the chemical exec would find ways to bring industry back to America. Yeah, they're bringing industry back to America. That pesticide is known to damage children's brains. Wow. And this is what they call as normal. We're supposed to just say, thank God he's making America great again. This is the thing, I don't understand how people can even believe in this man. You know, he has shown to be quite malicious towards all of us. He really is the batterer in chief. He has no regard for the law. I don't even think he has even read the Constitution. I mean, if he did, he'd understand that a lot of what he's doing goes against the sentiment of the law, if not the letter of the law. He has no regard for the letter of the law at all. So, well, I'm just going to keep digging for stories unless somebody wants to call in at 718-717-8106. You're listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Today is May 15, 2017, and that is how off-center I've been. Normally, I start the show with the date and the time. But I have to say, this weekend did shake me up. I was in a car with a friend of mine who had a seizure, who refused to go to the hospital, and was very angry that I did not continue on our journey, that I turned the car around and said, go see a doctor. And he's not going to go see. I don't know if he'll go see a doctor. He's a chiropractor. He thinks he knows everything, I guess. But it was very shaking to me because, you know, we are coming into a time where people, everyone around us, is getting catastrophically sick. When we're talking about the die-off and the Illuminati and this deep state and the secret government and the genocide that they plan on doing and the geoengineering and the chemtrails. I mean, even that, the idea, you know, like there are chemtrails in the sky. We're not supposed to call them chemtrails because they could be contrails, and we got to call them geoengineering trails, I guess, or refer to it as, I mean, there's all this, what do you call, being socially correct, politically correct, even in that. I mean, we're really missing the big picture, folks. We're seriously missing the big picture. What this requires is that all of us lean into this. You can easily go to the Senate.gov, and you can look for a list of the senators and print that out. Same thing with the House of Representatives. Print out the list of their phone numbers and put it in a file on your desk or somewhere in your house so that you can actually, or leave it on your computer, but call these people. They're just regular human beings. They're just like us. And they are in a bubble, in a cocoon that is filled with money. And if you want them to consider us, they have to hear our voices more than any of them. And if you're living in a Republican state, that's kind of difficult because the Republicans are refusing to answer their phone calls. So, I mean, that'll tell you how completely obstructionist they are. You know? I mean, it's outrageous. I have to say that it has been a very hard comeuppance here, realizing that it's not just that we're super screwed. It's just that there's so few people who are willing to speak out. so few people. So this came out May 9th. Today is May 15th. On E&E News, there is not even news. Nothing. This is so annoying. This is May 15th. The last report posted on E&E News is May 9th. That is outrageous. The worst catastrophe is going on the planet, and we are getting no news whatsoever about it all. Let's see. Let's just take a quick running tab on our own fingers. So we have Hanford, which according to Heidi Lambert, has emergencies which are catastrophic all the time. And the only reason they ever bring them up is when it's budget time so they can get extra money. We have the WIPP still collapsing, still spewing, still not doing anything. This is the problem. They can't get into there because it's in such a catastrophic state. So they just made a big, big, gigantic mess, right? And because of that, every single nuclear power facility in the country is being told, store your waste on site. So they can't ship it off and put it somewhere. So they're putting their diapers all around the nuclear power plant. And at what point are those every single nuclear facility produces 500 to 1,000 pounds of plutonium every year, and they are storing that nuclear waste all around their sites. Then we have Indian Point, where we know it's missing 20% of its bolts. They cannot find them. And it is pouring and leaking tritium into the Hudson Bay nonstop. That's still going on. We have Turkey Point, which is still leaking radioactivity into a gaping hole down there. We have no idea what's happening there. Are they telling us? No. Those are just the simple things that we know about. That's not to even mention the nuclear alerts, which we actually should look at since we've got the new administration. I don't think we've really looked at them. Let's see. Hold on just one second. Let's go to that and see what they're going to tell us today at the tracking center, at the nuclear reports. Nuclear current notification for May 12th. And let's see what we've got going on here. California Radiation Control Program. This is a non-emergency. This was reported on 5-1. Theft of Troxler density moisture gauge. So it contains less than a Category 3 level of radioactivity. Oh, dear. So somebody stole their device again. Nuclear power reactor, Clinton, Illinois, degraded condition. This happened, notification date, 5/12. That happened today, degraded condition. It's a non-emergency, Clinton, Illinois. Main steam isolation valves exceed primary containment local leak rate acceptance criteria. It was discovered that a primary containment local leak rate test performed on the main steam isolation valves exceeded its acceptable criteria. During modes 1, 2, and 3, technical specification surveillance requirements requires MSIV leakage for a single MSIV line to be less than or equal to 100 standard cubic feet per hour and requires the combined leakage rate for all MSIV leakage paths to be less than or equal to 200 SCFH. I have no idea what any of these acronyms means. How sweet of them to make these explanations. So it was over. This event is being reported as a condition of the nuclear power plant, including its principal safety bearers being seriously degraded per 10 blah, 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 since the primary containment isolation valve leaks limits for the MSIV were exceeded. That is just definitely not comforting. Event date, 5/14. Nuclear power reactor, Indian Point, New York. Accident mitigation. Here we go. It's an accident mitigation. Whew, we're glad that they did it. Single flow barrier access point found unbolted. No wonder they're missing 20% of their bolts, you dumbass. On May 14, 2017, with the unit in Mode 4, it was identified that a single flow barrier access point to the 46-foot elevation of containment was unbolted for access on the inner crane wall to perform surveillance testing. The single flow barrier access point is required to be bolted closed to ensure the emergency core cooling system operable basis, which requires the sump barrier system to be operable in modes 1 through 4. The sump barrier system is required to prevent the transportation of debris to the recirculation and containment sumps. This event is a safety system functional failure, as the condition could have prevented adequate post-accident core cooling due to design basis accident debris blockage of the circulation and or containment sump, and is reported under 10 CFR blah, blah, blah. Wow. Accident mitigation. So they're dodging bullets as we speak. Wow. Oh, and then here's the original report on that Clinton, Illinois. Fitness for duty. Here's somebody who was a fitness for duty at Clinton, Illinois. Clinton, Illinois had this problem up here, right? And what was their degraded condition? They had a leak, and now they have a fitness for duty guy. A visitor was working for the protection in the protected area for the turbine building roof and discovered a blue 12-ounce can of beer in their cooler. This was discovered when the visitor was removing items from their cooler into a larger community cooler. The visitor immediately notified their escort of the prohibited item. The escort then notified the security of the event. Security took possession of the item and the individual was escorted off-site. The individual stated that when they packed their cooler at home, they thought they had picked up the blue can of soda and noticed it was, and had did not notice it was a blue can of beer. Okay. Doink, da, doink, doink. And we thought The Simpsons was just a television show. Okay, there's a, at Waterford, Louisiana, off-site notification this event happened when 5:14. That was just yesterday. Fire in the administrative building result in a local fire department. Why was there a fire? On May 14, 2017, at time 18:23, Waterford 3 Steam Electric Station notified St. Charles Emergency Parish Services via 911 of a fire in the generation support building. The Hanville, Luling, and Kelowna fire departments were dispatched. Oh my God. The GSB in the administrative and engineering building outside the protected area and the owner controlled area. The fire was reported out at 18:41, so it took them 20 minutes. No personnel were injured due to the fire. The fire appeared to be from an external building exhaust fan. There was no internal or structural damage to the building. There was no radiological release. And everything's fine. Nobody has to worry about a thing. Don't worry about it. What you thinking about? Don't worry about it. My goodness. Let's go to documents for comment. How about that? We'll see if there's anything for comment that we really ought to be paying attention to. Rulemaking related documents. Let's look at these titles. Regulatory improvements for power reactors transitioning to decommissioning. That those comments are open until 6/13. Non-power production or utilization facility license renewal, 6/13. Emergency preparedness requirements for small modular reactors. So this is really annoying. So this means they're planning on building these small modular reactors. These bastards. They are going to just chop off our heads. They do not care about human life. License and application amendments. So then they have a whole list of comments about the license and application amendments. So this one's going to... Oh, these are all closed. 5/11. These are all periods of close. These are all 5/11. 5/22, request for a license to export radioactive waste. To export where requesting a license to export radioactive waste. Say what? They're going to do what? They're going to export radioactive waste. Wow. I bet you they already do that. And we don't even know about it. No, that's not the answer. They're not giving us that information. Let's open. I'm trying to open up this thing. Request. I want to see. Request to amend license to export radioactive waste, an extension of comment correction. Let's see. This was goes back to 311. If they will explain it. Okay, this is what it says. The U.S. Regulatory Commission is correcting a notice that was published in the Federal Register in August 2016 regarding the request to export radioactive waste. This is unbelievable. So we're going to be shipping our radioactive waste around the world. How good of them. Oh, wow, that's no bueno. My screen just went black. Everything on the NRC website just went black, you guys. Like, I couldn't see anything. Like, the whole thing, all those stories, everything's going black. Oh, dear. All of my stories are going black. Every single newspaper collapsed. Every single article is black. Oops. I guess that we're making some impact if they're killing my computer while I'm on the air. Oh, Lord, this is no bueno. Something's up here, man. I mean, seriously, the stories have just, like, all turned black, and I can't, like, get them open. Oh, dear. I guess I could sing some rabble-rousing songs. Let's see if I can just close up all of these. I could read this PDF from Carl Grossman, which is really great, his book. I'm going to get right to the first chapter of it. How about that? This is what you're not supposed to know about nuclear power. And we have 8 minutes left, so I'm just going to read the foreword here, the introduction. You have not been informed about nuclear power. You have not been told. And that has been done on purpose. Keeping the public in the dark was deemed necessary by the promoters of nuclear power if it was to succeed. Those in government, science, and private industry who have been pushing nuclear power realize that if people were given the facts, if they knew the consequences of nuclear power, they would not stand for it. If they knew that the kind of accidents that happened at Three Mile Island, at the Fermi reactor, at Brown's Ferry had happened, at Windscale, at the SL1, among others, a huge sort of catastrophes which had barely been avoided are to be expected, they'd be so damned upset and would insist us to put a stop to nuclear power. So an army of public relations practitioners has been working nonstop for decades to, in the jargon of the trade, make people think of the citizen atom as a friend before the truth became manifest. Wow. And that is it. What did we see? We saw Miss USA. She's a nuclear scientist. She's going to be their little mouthpiece for how long? How long is she going to be able to go out there and tell us how great nuclear power is and don't worry about it? Because she has studied nuclear power and she knows it's not dangerous because we know how to handle it. This is unbelievable. Okay, so I was able to actually reopen up the windows that all went black. That was really bizarre. Oh, man. Uh-oh. And I cannot open up these nuclear stories. They're not very happy about that. Okay, so ixnay on nuclear A, man. So you can't go to that one. Let me see if I can pull it back up. Let me see if I can get back into the NRC notice documents. Here we go. These people at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission are really intentionally harmful. It's unbelievable. I have to say, as an American, it hurts to realize that we have a government built up, a system around us that has so regard for human life that they don't care. They've sort of given in to the idea that we've already contaminated our planet so far that the only thing we can do is allow them to, you know, pray and hope and cross our fingers, right? So I guess I'm not going to reopen that request for license to export radioactive waste. Let me read you the rest of the things that are open for comment. Applications and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving no significant hazard considerations. Huh, that's open till the 25th. Applications and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving proposed no significant hazard considerations and containing sensitive, unclassified, non-safeguard information and order imposing procedures for access to sensitive, unclassified, non-safe information. That means they're going to change the rules about how you and I could get into asking any of this information. This one is open till 6-2. Department of the Air Force, Robins Air Force Base, Georgia, proposed decommissioning plan. Did you guys know that our Air Force Base needs a decommissioning plan? Huh? Must be lots of nuclear stuff there. And let's see, 6-8. Application and amendments to facility operating licenses and combined licenses involving no significant hazards consideration. And finally, NRC, Tennessee Valley Authority, Clinch River Nuclear Site. I have a big interest in this Air Force Base thing, though. That is kind of an interesting thing. I'll see if we can open that up in a new tab. We have 2 minutes left. So in the last of these 2 minutes, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. The show sort of, the whole thing sort of collapsed right before I got on air. So thank you for hanging in with us. We really appreciate it. Please do share our radio show with your friends and family. They can find us on TuneIn Radio Live or go to UCYTV Podcasts and type in the Age of Fission and find us. We make an effort to find activists and healers and victims and people who are pushing back against this whole murder, death, kill, the whole idea that profit over people is the way we need to go. So I would suggest that everybody lean into this, put your courage feet on, make a decision that you matter, make a decision that your voice matters, and find a way to get active. It's really imperative. We do not have a choice anymore. If we want to save our planet and we want to make our planet so that we have grandchildren who actually have a world where they can go swimming in a river or eat plants that aren't grown hermetically sealed inside of a building, it's important for us to get out and get active, put pressure on these elected officials, make them do their job, make them stop taking money. I mean, we can pressure them. So put your courage feet on. We're not going to have time to read this docket. I suggest you guys all go there yourself, the NRC public comments. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Really, totally put your courage feet on because it is not easy. We're under big challenges. Talk to you guys tomorrow. So I guess that's not over with. I don't know. I'm going to keep talking because I don't hear the end of the show. So there we go. It's that kind of day, you guys.
My name is